let this just run the whole song? No.
I wait till I hear your voice, and then I start bringing it down.
Bringing it down. Hey, sports fans, welcome to the podcast. It's Friday morning. It's Hebsy on Sports, episode 317. Wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, welcome. I'm Mark Hebsher. Toronto Mike is, I was going to say alongside, but that was last week, Mike. I was alongside you, which suggests that we're in the same room together.
And it felt so good.
It did. It felt really good. But, you know, as you know, when it comes to broadcasting, nowadays, it really doesn't matter where you are in relation to your audience or your co-hosts or your guests. Because people are listening to this through the magic of television. Okay, you can make it seem like you're in the same room. But you know, when you're in boxes, as they like to call it in television, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, normally you'll put the location of the person there, but it really doesn't matter. It makes no difference. He's in a hotel room. Where? It doesn't matter, right? He's talking about football. So we're just used to the stuff like that. So I'm not next to you, but I was last week and it was great, like the old days, like they used to do it. Like there was no such thing as Zoom or, you know, you'd have to set up a remote line in someone's
home. An ISDN line?
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I always heard it on the radio, like, oh, I'm connecting via ISDN line.
Wait a second, I got to get that. It's a bell line, right? It's a telephone line, and then you have microphone quality. You have a microphone in your home. It's plugged into that line, and you now have microphone quality going over the phone line into the radio station and makes it sound like, hey, that's pretty good. It's a good microphone. You got a good acoustics. You got your own little studio. Anyway, where was I?
Well, hey, before you get back to your intro, Hebsy, we should just say that, yeah, we recorded live last week, and that was a killer episode of Hebsy on Sports. And then you stuck around to co-host an episode with Richard Griffin, formerly of the Toronto Blue Jays, Toronto Star, Montreal Expos. So that was a doubleheader we did last Friday.
Yeah, it was good. I have not listened to that show. I don't listen to this.
You were there.
Back. I don't listen back because from the first time I heard my voice, I was like, oh.
Oh, wow.
I didn't like the sound of the voice. And when other people said, oh, no, your voice is fine, or you know, growing up, it was like, I just had this thing about my voice. So I never thought I had the voice, because in those days, especially, the announcer's voice was
sure,
like this.
Tom Rivers.
And I always wanted to be, and I just didn't have the register. I don't have that to be able to, you know, to do that. So that's why I didn't think I would be an announcer. And then you'd hear other announcers. It sounded a bit different. I remember the first time I heard Chris Cuthbert, and right. I went, whoa. That's a really high register, but he's really good. But I wonder if the old style announcers would go, oh, sorry, son.
Well, Foster Hewitt was high pitched.
Well, Foster, that was different, though. There were no other broadcasters. There was no such thing as a broadcaster. What's a broadcaster? There was no, he started when radio started. There was no, well, if you're going to be talking to people and communicating with them, you have to have a certain voice. There was no such thing, right? You stand between the penalty boxes or whatever it was. And broadcast the game to 800 people in 1921, where, you know, so there was no such thing.
Right.
And remember, he's calling a play. He was a reporter. I'm reporting on what's going on. Later, the person delivering the message would have to deliver it in such a clear, concise tone that the listener could understand what they're saying.
Right.
Anyway, on this edition of Hebsy on Sports 317, we're going to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs win over Winnipeg, which is very impressive. And the Leafs have been very impressive, but, you know, playoffs, that's what it's all about. The Raptors lost to Minnesota. They should have won that game. There's a lot of games they should have won. And, you know, the tipping point is going to come pretty soon. Trade deadlines in a few weeks, pretty soon. We got the Australian Open, lots of Canadian content. We got the PGA, LPGA, and LIV golf tours. A decision by one NHL player to sit out a warm-up because he would have had to wear a jersey that featured rainbow colors. And I guess that supports LGBTQ+ persons. All that fuss. Boy, that was pretty over the top. We'll talk about that. The NFL playoffs, the Buffalo Bills with another chance to move on to play their arch rival Kansas City. And they got to beat Cincinnati this week. We'll get into all that. First, though, here's Toronto Mike wearing his Doug Flutie jersey.
I bought this before I knew he was a Trumper, Hebsy. I just want to point that out. But hello, good.
Oh, but you're still wearing it because of the Buffalo part.
Right.
Has anyone else worn number 7 since Doug Flutie? So you can claim that you're wearing their number.
I don't know. You tell me, man. You're the big Bills guy. I don't know, but I did have fond memories of Flutie, not only in the CFL, and I loved him as an Argo, but those years in Buffalo, you know, until that was it Rob Johnston who played that Music City Miracle game. I think it was like 2000. But that they benched Flutie, who all he did was win all season long, and then we all know what happened in the Music City Miracle game. One of the many heartbreaks for Buffalo Bills fans.
Don't bring that up. My Mikey, you know, you don't bring that up.
Yeah, because next I'm going to talk about...
In the midst of a playoff run. You just don't bring that
up. Oh, did I jinx them? Okay.
Well, no, there's no such thing as a jinx.
Right.
But those aren't the things you talk about. Those are negative waves, and nobody wants to hear that stuff. So get your head out of your ass.
Oh, I disagree.
You're talking about the Buffalo Bills, if they beat Cincinnati this week, and that's a big if, the way they played last week. So you're not jinxing them, but you got to talk about positive things.
Are there a lot of
about
positive things?
How great
things
Josh Allen is, about Stephon Diggs, about the defense, you know, and they're going to be better this week because Cincinnati's got 3 missing offensive linemen. Those are the things you talk about when you're talking to a 60-year Buffalo Bills fan.
You got it, man. Now, before we get to tennis, because I can't wait to find out if you watched Breakpoint, because I heard it wasn't for tennis fans, so I want to hear your take on that. I just got to say, because I said it on the red carpet show, but now we're in the podcast, Hebsy on Sports. Yeah. Happy 21st birthday to my boy, James. Love you, James.
Happy 21st anniversary, James, for being on this planet.
That's right.
21. What was I doing when I was 21? Oh, you...
I don't know if
when
you
I was
say
21
that.
I was announcing on the radio that Elvis Presley had died. That summer I was 21,
and now his daughter's dead.
This just in: Elvis Presley is dead. The king is dead. Elvis has left the planet, something like that. I forget. I have a tape somewhere, me announcing Elvis has died, and then running out and getting every single Elvis album that we had at CKKW 1090 in Kitchener, Ontario, and playing it. That's what I was doing when I was 21. Okay. James, onward and upward, buddy. Whatever you're into, it's all good. Go for it. And hopefully nothing serious happens when you're on the air one day.
My love for James to the love we see in tennis scores.
That's not a good segue.
I feel shame. Please take it over. I feel shame.
You didn't go to broadcasting school, Mike. You became a podcaster, but you didn't go to broadcasting school. You know, where the book says, oh, you don't say those things. If you've got a cold, you don't tell your audience you've got a cold. You don't tell them you're sick. You don't tell them that, because then they're going to be sick or they're going to feel sorry for you. You don't want that. Old stuff like that. It's data, not data. Don't forget, it's gala, not gala. These are things you remember, get drilled into your head and broadcast.
Data, not data.
Don't do it this way. What are the who, what, when, where, why, how? Journalist, television, this, that, two shot, never. Don't dissolve from a 2 to 1. Don't chuckle. All these things come back to me. I was around that age. I was about that age.
Wow.
Working, doing some radio.
In Kitchener.
Changed my name. I had 2 different names on the radio. I worked for 2 different radio stations under 2 different names.
What was your fake name?
I can't say. One was Mark Walker. The other was Mark Johnson. But I got them mixed up one night.
Oh, no.
I was young. And then on the Guelph station, I got them mixed up with the Cambridge station. I got the names wrong. And once somebody heard and said, hey.
Uh-oh.
And I got fired from both. Now that's another thing. Name me someone who on the same day got fired from 2 jobs.
Unrelated.
This fellow right here. You did. Let's start with tennis now. How's that for a segment? Okay?
Yeah. Much better than mine.
Okay, listen. So I've been watching, my job is to watch sports, a lot of sports. It's getting harder and harder because there's so much sports on television and everything is available. There isn't one sporting event that's not televised. Not one. My girlfriend's son plays in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the NOJHL. He plays for the Elliott Lake Red Wings. Shout out to Ryan DuPont in Elliott freaking Lake. All right? Playing up there, up in Hearst and Cochrane, Timmins, the Sioux, okay? Sudbury. Man, you name it. Way up there. And even his games are on television. His games are televised. They got a guy sitting behind a mic. I think he controls the camera as well. It's not bad. but it's Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League with, you know, 100 people in the stands. And you can watch the game. You can watch anything. So I've been watching Northern Ontario Junior Hockey, tennis from Australia, the Raptors, the Leafs, the NFL. I mean, soccer. Don't even talk to me about it. I won't even mention Tottenham Hotspur. It's disgusting. There's so much going on. But the tennis takes up the most time, right? And the oddest hours when it's the Australian Open. And since we've got Canadian content to talk about on the world stage in a major, this is what we start with, okay? No offense to any Leaf fans or Raptor fans. Hey, wait a second. It's the middle of the season. This is big stuff. This is the Australian Open, all right? And we got Felix Auger-Aliassime. Now, two things with Felix.
Yep.
Now, I've been talking about him since I started the show, since he was like 14 years old. He's 21 now. But he's one of the stars of the Netflix series Breakpoint, which I highly recommend. Excellent, okay? But not if you're a tennis fan. Okay? Only for people that... It's great, really good. So anyway, not only is he... When this was recorded and edited, nobody mentioned the fact that he was Canada's Athlete of the Year for 2022. All right. So, and you know, he broke through last year with four wins, and some of the footage of him is great. And he's such a great guy, and it's just great. He had his family with him in this, and oh my God, it's just really cool. So he's moved on to the round of 16. He won earlier this morning. I didn't watch. I was in the middle of the night. So, and I mean, if it was the final, I'd get up earlier, but you know, it's only the third round. He's moved on. Impressive win today over Argentina's Francisco Cerundolo, the 28th seed. Felix is seeded sixth in this event. He won by scores of 6-1, 3-6, 6-1, and 6-4. Now moves on to play Jiří Lehečka, the Czech, who is ranked 80th in the world. The men's draw wide open, Mike, this year. So we got Felix. He's into the round of 16. If he wins that match, he goes to the quarters. So here's what you got. You've got the number one seed, Rafa Nadal, out. Shockingly out, the defending champion. Actually, world number one, Carlos Alcaraz, is injured, so he's not even in this tournament. Then you got the number two seed, Casper Ruud, also one of the stars of the Netflix series Breakpoint, out. Ooh. Number seven, Daniil Medvedev, lost just like a little while ago. Out, in straight sets, out.
Wow.
Number eight, Taylor Fritz, also one of the stars of Breakpoint. And his girlfriend, out. Number 12, Sasha Zverev, out. Number 13, Matteo Berrettini, also featured on the Netflix series, out. On the women's side, Owens Jabeur, also a star of the Netflix series, out. Right? Like, it's like, oh, you were on this series? It just came out? Okay, guess what? Okay, anyone who wanted to watch you in the Australian Open, you're out. Unfortunately, Djokovic and Stefanos Tsitsipas still alive, but not Denis Shapovalov, the number 20 seed. He fell to number 10, Hubert Erkacz, in five sets. He dropped the first two sets, 6-7, 4-6, roared back to win the next two, 6-1, 6-4, and eventually fell 3-6 in the fifth set. Again, I've just sort of seen highlights from it, but man, five setters. I mean, there's no other sport, okay? This would be like in golf. To win a tournament, it's not 72 holes, it's 90 holes, right? For the majors.
Right.
You play 90 holes for the majors. That's what this is like. This would be like, oh, you're in the Stanley Cup Finals? It's a best of nine, right?
Right.
In the final. This would be like in the World Cup Final, instead of shootouts, no, you play till somebody wins. Right, this is a whole other level. Five set. How many times do you see a guy wins the first two sets? You go, no, come on. And the other guy comes back and wins.
Right.
Wins the next three. Like, it happens. It's happened a lot lately. And in fact, I watched a match the other morning, yesterday morning, I think it was. Andy Murray and what was his name? I got it here. Oh, Thanasi Kokkinakis. Holy cow. I get up at 7 in the morning, Mike. And I'm flipping, I'm looking to see, is this live or is this from last night? No, it's live on one of the TSN channels. And it's Andy Murray, who's got a bionic hip, right? And really the last, I mean, it was Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, and Andy Murray was in there for a time until he got injured. As, you know, there's your big four. You can't beat these guys, right? And Andy Murray, these two guys are slugging it out. It goes five sets. It's 5 hours and 45 minutes. Mike, 5:45, but It's 4 a.m. in Australia. People are still there watching these guys.
Wow.
Right after the 5 hour mark, I think Andy Murray, or 4.5 hour mark, Andy Murray is like, I got to go to the bathroom. And no bathroom break. Right? Like, you went back in the second set or whatever. No. And Andy Murray's like, I got to go to the bathroom. And he's like, play on. I mean, holy cow. Wow. You're going to piss all over the court.
Wow.
5 hours and 45 minutes. Mike, unbelievable. And then this morning, I'm watching Sebastian Korda beat Medvedev in straight sets. Medvedev, this guy doesn't lose, hardly, but he doesn't lose in straight sets. Three straight sets. And Sebastian Korda, his sister is battling Brooke Henderson, one of his sisters in the LPGA. The other sister's there too, right? Jessica Korda and Nelly Korda. And here's Sebastian Korda. Holy fuck, there's a family. Hey, Peter Korda, the former tennis player.
Sure.
He's got two daughters on the LPGA tour who are stars. And he's got an upcoming star, Sebastian, on the ATP tour. Okay. Fabulous. Just great.
Amazing. So is Felix the last Canadian man remaining?
He's the last Canadian remaining.
Right.
Period. Because Bianca Andreescu and Lila, Annie Fernandez both went out in the second round on the women's side.
I did not know that Lila was out.
You didn't know that, eh?
Well, I knew Bianca lost because I was thinking of your flash in the pan statement, but I didn't know Lila lost. Okay.
Okay, wait. Bianca lost to the world number 100.
It's not
Lila lost to a better player. World number 100. I mean, come on. You can't lose to the, like, someone that's 60 spots above you. There's something wrong there. I mean, she looked really good in her first round match, but who is she playing? Again, it's the competition that you're up against. And the women's is like wide open now. Look what's going on in the women's. I mean, Ash Barty retires. Naomi Osaka is pregnant. She's not played for a while. Paula Badosa stepped away. I mean, oh man, that's super wide open. Going on. Owen Jabeur, she's out. It's crazy.
Go Felix.
Listen, you know what? The beauty of tennis nowadays is there's so many great players, really great players, that it's close, man. If for a long time there, I explained to you, you couldn't beat these guys. Now these players can be beaten, right? The top seeds can be beaten. The top players can be beaten. It's wild. It's great.
But what do you think about, okay, so you are a diehard tennis guy. You're through it thick and thin.
I love tennis.
Yeah, of course.
But here's the thing, Mike. I love great competition. And it just seems to me that, you know, a lot of the tennis matches I've been watching lately, that it's good competition. You can't pick a winner so fast. I'm not a better in that sense. Like, what are the odds? You know, who do I like? You know, I'm interested in great tennis. Right. You know, just I love good competition. And so I could be watching it. It doesn't matter who the combatants are. But if they're equal and they can both hit great shots, and it's compelling for me. It's compelling. And I, you know, a lot of times I'm not picking a winner in that I'm rooting for this player versus that player. I just want to see great tennis. Like, really, I'm there to go. Like, if my guy gets beat or my girl gets beat, I'm and it's a great shot. That's the beauty of tennis. I'm there to applaud. Like in golf, if somebody hits a great shot, it's not the person I'm following. I love it. I'm there for it. You know, it's not a matter of that's my team. That's my guy. I don't have to have a rooting interest in a particular participant or participants, but just the beauty sometimes and the competition of the sport is what I love. It's the way I am. I'm a suck that way. It's been great. Keep watching. Go Felix, like you said. NFL playoffs this weekend. Speaking of which, boy, the playoffs have just been great. Have they not?
Yes.
Like who misses three extra points? Like, there's one. Tell me, give me an equivalent in any other sport of a kicker missing three, and not just missing, like shanking almost, three extra points.
I can't do it. I don't know.
That's that's like a pro golfer. Like hitting three. No. What am I saying? That happens to golfers. You lose your drive. That's just, I can't think of anything. That would be like missing an empty net from, like a pro player missing like the empty net from center ice. Like wide open net, nobody covering you, and three misses from center ice. Like that, come on. Anyway, that's what I look forward to. NFL playoffs this weekend got the Kansas City Chiefs a 9-point favorite against Jacksonville. That's tomorrow afternoon in one of the AFC games. Chiefs should win that one. Tomorrow night, the Eagles host the Giants. NFC East matchup in the playoffs, the Giants, the Gents against the Eagles. That should be a dandy. Philly favored by 7.5. Sunday at 3 o'clock, the Buffalo Bills host the Cincinnati Bengals. Buffalo, only 5.5-point favorite. They did not impress me last week at all.
No.
Way too many turnovers. Their defense can be scored upon. I don't know. But the Bengals are missing 3 starting offensive linemen, and that'll make it a little easier for Buffalo's pass rush, and the Bills should win that game. Sunday night, it's the Dallas Cowboys in San Francisco. The Niners are a 4-point favorite. The Niners should win this game easily, and here's why, Mike. Dallas had to play Monday night against Tampa Bay. Monday night, right? Night. Their game wasn't over till let's say midnight. Monday night. San Francisco played Saturday afternoon.
Right.
So they were done by Saturday dinner time. So Saturday dinner time, you're resting. Okay. Sunday dinner time comes. Monday dinner time comes. You got 2 full days of rest before they've even gone on the field. You got 2.5 days extra rest, San Francisco. And you're at home. Take San Francisco. Take them. They're 4-point favorites over Dallas. Take them. Take the Bills, -5.5. Take the Giants, +7.5 against Philadelphia, and take Kansas City, -9. That's my final 4 this weekend. Good luck, NFL fans.
Hey, what's your thoughts on Tom Brady? There's all this talk. He's lingered. He's going to ruin his legacy. Like, what's your take? Like, should, you know...
Couldn't give a shit. Go look at any athlete or any star that's on the verge of retirement. Go look at all of them. Every single one. You know, they waffle. I'm waffling. I might retire. I might not retire. I could retire. There might be one more year. So I don't want to hear it, because all that speculation last year, a year ago, he ended up coming back. And, despite what the rumors are. So, to wait to hear about someone's decision on their future, especially when you can retire and unretire nowadays.
Right.
With impunity. I'm retiring.
Right.
Well, I'm coming back. No, I told you this before, Mike. Once you say you're retiring, once you accept or give a retirement speech or accept a gift upon retirement, it's not like getting married and then divorced and someone says, hey, I want my wedding gift, the wedding gift I gave you back. It's different. You can't retire.
So in your world, Mario Lemieux doesn't get to come back.
I'm unretired. Once you say you're retired, people cry. They wish you, they put a big tribute together for you.
Sure.
People shake your hand. They go, good luck in retirement. And then 3 months later, 6 months later, I'm unretired. There's got to be somebody at the gates to go. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't do it. Stay retired. Anyway, let's be clear, ladies and gentlemen. There are no big games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm sick of this. Big win. It's not. It's not a big game. It's not a big win. There's no big games. Not now. Not this week, not this month, not next month, not the month after that, not the month after that. There won't be any TSN turning points, despite what they tell you. And with the exception of Mitch Marner's home consecutive points streak, or Austin Matthews' improbable run at 60 goals again because he got 2 last night, we're just going to have to wait until the Leafs play a game of substance, a game in which they can clinch a playoff series victory. Anything else, and it doesn't matter. They've already clinched, haven't they? Leafs, I think, have clinched the playoff spot, haven't they? They're going to play Tampa in the first round, right?
Right.
Like last year, right?
Right.
Right. With home ice advantage like last year, right?
Right.
They're going to have a 3-2 series lead against Tampa. They will have a 3-2 series lead against Tampa this year in the playoffs. They will. And then we don't know. And then it's got to be, they've got to win game 6 like they didn't last year. Or they've got to win game 7 like they didn't last year. Or it's going to be the same shit again. Same thing. To the exact same. We're going to reach the same part of the mountain. Last year, we climbed to this part of the mountain, and then we fell off. This year, we're going to get to the exact same spot of the mountain, and then we're going to fall off again.
Or so we hope.
We're going to get over that freaking hump.
Ooh.
Because we know we're going to play Tampa, and Tampa's a fucking good team. Tampa's a better team than the Leafs in a 7-game series when they play each other.
Oh, Hebsy, we've had this talk for several years now, it feels, on Hebsy on Sports, which is that, talk to me in the playoffs. These regular season Leafs teams, none of this, nothing
great.
Matters.
They're great. They were great last night.
Sure.
Mike, they won 4-1 against Winnipeg. People are going, oh, this is Stanley Cup preview. Okay, sure, really? Whatever, because you got stuff to fill.
Right.
right? You've got stuff to fill.
Right.
And you know what? Here's another thing I'm really getting tired of.
What?
I'm seeing a lot of top 10 everythings. Here's my top 10 guitarists, my top 10 this, top 10 this. And then people arguing over someone's top 10. How could so-and-so not be in the top 10? How could this? Oh my God. This is what passes now for radio, television, social media. This is what people are coming up with. Right. I want your opinion on this. And some people are sitting there with no time going, well, let me see my top 10. Well,
right.
How come so-and-so? Where is so-and-so in there? It's all about, this is what this is all about now. Hall of Fame voting. It's all top 10 stuff. It's all, I blame David Letterman for all this stuff. Where did this come from?
These listicles. You know what I mean? Yeah, of course. It creates engagement. It's a lazy way to generate engagement.
Yeah. Like someone said, oh, that went over. Someone on the radio had said, that was one of the top 10 wins I've ever seen the Maple Leafs play. And I'm thinking, really? You can, in your mind, you can go
That's
back
insane.
And take selected games,
yeah.
right?
That's
and
insane.
Rank them. There was my second. This one's in the top 10. Are you fucking kidding me? Like if you said, I went back and watched all these games.
Right.
And then rewatched the Leaf game because of a documentary I'm doing on the moments, every moment I've spent as a Leaf fan. Okay. But come on. This was one of your top 10 Leaf games ever. How many games have you seen? Give me some context. No, don't give me any context. I'm unfollowing you. And I'm not listening to you on the radio,
oh,
by the way. There was another guy yesterday I'm listening to for an hour. I'm listening on the Jeff Merrick show. And I'm going, who's this guy? And I hear he's talking to someone and they're going, oh, Maddie, this. And I'm going, Maddie, who? It's not Matt Causa. I'm listening. That's not TSN radio. I'm listening to the fan. I'm going, who is this guy? I'm listening for like 25 minutes before he finally identifies himself. Matt Marchese. He was pretty good. But I'm like, who the fuck are you? Who am I listening to?
Right.
Anyway, so they won. They beat Winnipeg. Beautiful. Winnipeg's a good team. Winnipeg's so good. They're great. They beat Winnipeg. That's great. And Austin Matthews scored twice. I think he now has more goals than Zach Hyman. Because, of course, you've got people going, well, look at this. Zach Hyman's got more goals than Austin Matthews. Like, stuff right. like this. Like, fuck, come on, man. And Marner has now scored. And I didn't know this, Mike. Mitch Marner, my God, has scored a point. At least a point in 20 consecutive home games.
Woo!
Who knew that such a stat even existed? Not me. But again, easiest thing in the world. Yep, let's go to the game summaries. I've got time in my hands.
Ebs, you got to get people to watch a regular season Leaf game on a Thursday night, which means absolutely nothing.
My God.
That's the stuff that hooks them in.
And I flip through sometimes. People go, do you ever watch the intermissions? And I'm like, the intermission used to be something to watch. Now they're just saying anyway, last night's win, great, terrific, congratulations. Doesn't mean squat for Leaf fans because we remember what happened last year against Tampa in the playoffs, and I can't get interested in individual performances during a regular season that has no drama. There's no drama. We're going to play Tampa in the first round. We're probably going to host them. If we don't host them, we're in even more trouble. I don't know. So I want to get to the end of the story of the Leafs season. I want to get to the end of the story already, but I don't want to have to read another 200 pages to get there, if you know what I mean.
Hebsy, quick, because I just got reminded of this by looking at your live stream on your YouTube channel, but why can't, back in the day, one played eight, two played seven, don't we, Leafs get screwed over more than anybody,
divisions.
I think. Yes, but it sucks for us. Like, it's always Boston or Tampa, you know what I mean? And then the one time it's like, oh, we can feast on the Montreal Canadiens, we lose. So, I mean, I just think we get rolled. We should be playing the eighth seed. Oh, not eighth seed because Boston. But you know what I mean. We should be playing a lower seed.
Well, what do you mean? What exactly are you saying?
Okay, so if
you don't like the current playoff system because the Leafs are stuck in the division.
That's what I'm saying.
In Boston.
That's what I'm saying.
And you don't like the baseball because the Leafs are in the same division as the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Well, I never actually complained.
And like, listen, this is the way it is. Okay. This is the way it is. Every team's got a beef. Oh, I'm in the toughest division. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. You know, this is why they have divisional play. This was the whole idea with divisions. You get out of your division, you represent your division. Well, it's bullshit. I agree. If you've got the best record and there's 16 teams in the playoffs, you should play the team with the 16th best record.
Oh, you want to do 1-16.
But Mike, and I've explained this to you before, the National Hockey League is not a league that is a forward-thinking league. And I explained this to you before. For many, many years, when the playoffs began, the number one seed, the team with the best record, would play the team with the third best record.
Oh, yeah.
And the team with the second best record would play the team with the fourth best record.
Just
whoever
dumb.
Came up with that idea, that went on for years. And I remember going, this is fucked. Right? You finish first and you play the third place team?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
You want to play the fourth place team? Like, that makes no sense at all. So you're right. I mean, in essence, if you're going to have a playoff system, the team that has the most points in the regular season should be rewarded by either getting a bye or playing the team that had the worst record that got in. It's real simple. You barely got in. Guess what you get in the first round? You get the number one team. Good luck. Right? Like it is in the NCAA tournament. You know, you seed the team. The difference there is, though, you're seeding the teams based on their regular season performances in their conferences.
Yeah.
And out of conference, right? It's totally different.
Sure.
It's not based on the number of points you earned. So it's fucked. So this is the NHL system's fucked. It has been for years. It has been. They changed it a million times. 1-16, within the division, outside the division. We want to save travel. 2-3-2, 2-2-2, 1-1-1-1. Come on. It's the NHL.
And, you know, now that I think about it, look, this team, you know, the Austin Matthews Leafs, like it's not just Tampa Bay and Boston that are beating this team. Like, we couldn't get past Columbus in that play-in. We can't get by the Montreal Canadiens.
Forget about it.
We can't get by the Capitals.
This is the way the NHL is. Every team, this is what every team has to deal with.
It's
they
the
all
Leafs.
Have to deal with it.
It's
all the
Leafs
have to do is have a better team, so that they're better than Boston. And even then, so they get a bye. So they get a shittier team. You're playing 82 games to get in against Boston or Tampa eventually.
And what, you know, shitty.
If not in the first round, it's the second round. So live with it, deal with it. The Jays deal with the Yankees and the Red Sox.
I have no choice.
Every year.
Listen, I know.
Deal with it.
Okay, listen. One thing is that this wonderful regular season Leafs team, I, as a Maple Leaf fan since I was a little kid like yourself, I embraced completely for a first round exit. Like, I don't know why we have to live this way.
No. I know.
I'm completely ready to go out in the first round.
You're getting me very aggravated with this. I know. I know. I fucking know.
I'm tired of it.
Well, you're gonna have to wait until April, because this doesn't mean shit. The Leafs could go out for the 30 fucking game unbeaten streak right now, and won't make a difference.
Right.
Okay. Tampa's preparing for them. Tampa's a better team. Tampa's a better coach team. Tampa has better goaltending. Tampa's got this Stamkos kid, who, even though he's 40 years old or whatever the fuck he is, another 500 goal guy. Okay, Leafs are 17-3-4 at home this year. Okay, these are other things too. Oh, look at this great record. And Ilya Samsonov, 12-0-1 at home at the SBA. 12-0-1. Will this mean anything in the playoffs? No, not a thing. But it's good for now, right? Now, I had not heard an interview or had recognized any interview with Ilya Samsonov, right? And I'm listening to him. And I don't know who's interviewing him. It's and I'm listening to him speak, and he's like, what do you mean? And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's Stan Schmenge of the Schmenge brothers of SCTV, right? You know that song, Cabbage Rolls and Coffee?
Of course, yes.
You know, from their documentary, The Last Polka? Fabulous. So I'm listening to Samsonov speak, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Stan Schmenge. We're from Lithuania, right?
Yes.
What do you mean? What you're talking about? He's a good player. Anyway, I'm not making fun of. But it's just, you know, it was cute listening to him speak English, and he sounds like, you know, I don't know, maybe a cross between Borat and, you know,
the Schmenge brothers.
Stan Schmenge in there, but that is, it's cute. It's I'm not making fun of him. I'm just having some fun with the way he sounds, the same way he would if I was trying to speak Russian. Oh, that guy sounds like, you know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Anyway, what's your man? That was a good game. At least you're in Montreal tomorrow. Oh, the Habs. How'd you like to be a Habs fan? The Habs, especially when they wear that blue uniform, right? It's nauseating. It looks like a fucking, it looks like a blueberry soda exploded. Horrible looking. Just brutal. Brutal. Leafs are in Montreal tomorrow. Then they're home to the Islanders Monday, home to the Rangers Wednesday, home to the Senators Friday, home to the Washington Capitals, and that Russian prick, Alexander Ovechkin. Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Hope he breaks his leg. Now, the NHL, as I've mentioned, Mike, has never impressed me as a league, a forward-thinking league. They're not inclusive, even though they claim to be. And they're not transparent when it comes to issues such as, oh, I don't know, everything? Racism, sexism, diversity. They're a bunch of fucking liars. And never, ever, ever trusted the National Hockey League to make the correct decision. And because of that, you shouldn't be surprised that the league has not intervened, has not suspended Flyers defenseman Ivan the Terrible Provorov for having the gall to refuse to wear a Rainbow Pride jersey for warmups at the Flyers game on Pride night. I think it was Pride night, Mike. You know what? Here's another thing. I can't keep up with all the different, there's so many different nights saluting, you know, different interests, let's say, right? But anyway, on this particular night, the Flyers players, you know, on both teams actually had agreed to wear a Pride jersey for warmups. And Provorov said, I'm not going to wear it. It's against my religion. Which is Russian Orthodox, and the Russian Orthodox, those who follow those, I want to get this right, those who are observant do not recognize nor approve of homosexuality or any other lifestyle that is not heterosexual. The Flyers players apparently tried to change, I haven't heard, gotten confirmation of this, but apparently not maybe all the players, maybe two or three of the players, key players, try to talk Provorov out of this to get him to wear the jersey. And he was steadfast, said nope. And when they found this out, they said, all right, you're sitting out the warm-up, but you can play in the game. John Tortorella, you can play in the game. And people were really angry, really, really angry, screaming, okay? We want inclusivity. We want harmony. We want everybody to embrace gay pride and LGBTQ plus rights in the NHL and the NHL. And well, you know what? Everybody has, except for this guy. So why make a big stink about this guy? Why take that? Why not look at the good that it's done and how many people are part of this inclusivity and how many people are benefiting? As opposed to the one goofball, and not even, I wouldn't even say goofball, the one guy who said, look, you know, and again, Sandy Koufax didn't pitch on Yom Kippur. The reasons were it was against his religious belief. A lot of people didn't buy that. What the fuck is that? It's the World Series. You know, it's not that big of a stretch for this man to say, and I don't know how pious he is, and I do know the Russian Orthodox Church, and he of which he is a subscriber. He's an observant Russian Orthodox. I don't know how observant, to what degree, his parents, his family, what would happen, how he would be looked at. I don't know, but I do know that he's entitled to say no. Without all this, you're a horrible human being, and you're a gay basher, and I don't know if that's the case. He didn't come out and say, I'm anti-gay. He just said, I can't do it. I won't do it. I refuse to do it. And then his coach said, you know, give him credit. He stands by his beliefs. And everybody else, or not everybody else, but some loud voices screaming, suspend this guy. Fire John Tortorella. Where's the NHL? But come on. What did you really expect? Mike, what did you expect?
Well, I think you're being awfully kind to this Ivan the Terrible, as you call him.
I'm not being kind.
Well, you're being awfully forgiving. I mean, you compared the Sandy Koufax.
What's wrong with being forgiving?
To me, you shouldn't
what
compare those
two. What
did
he do wrong, Mike?
To me, the refusal to wear the Pride jersey is an act of hate.
No.
I know. To me.
You're really, really looking at it the wrong way. He didn't come out. He didn't start this, right? Now, did he void his contract because he didn't perform in the manner which the rest of the team, et cetera, had expected him to? If the guy has strong religious beliefs, let it go. Can you let it go?
Religious.
Can you
beliefs.
Look at all the good that's been done for all the other people and take the one guy that caused the stir? Had you not known, had he never been asked to wear the Pride jersey, you would have never known this.
But irrelevant, right? Because the fact is, he was asked to wear the Pride jersey. He's the only one who refused, and he refused to because essentially, for homophobic reasons, you can't hide behind your religion.
Okay, so he's a homophobe.
Don't compare the Sandy Koufax to this.
Suspend him for being a homophobe. Like, really, Mike? I mean, I get it. Knee-jerk reaction. He, what? And I was the same way. And I thought about it. I was like, well, you know, I mean, I don't agree with the guy, but doesn't make him the worst person in the world.
Well, you're bringing up the S word, suspended. Like, I'm just telling you as a hockey fan and somebody...
You thought there should have been consequences,
no, I'm
correct?
telling you. I'm not even saying there should be consequences. I'm saying that this is extremely disappointing. And I think to let Ivan off the hook because of religion and comparing him to Sandy Koufax is highly offensive.
Well, I'm just telling you that the way certain people think, there's a lot of people that believe that what he did, he is entitled to do. And there's a lot of people and there's other people that believe that he's not entitled to do what he did. And that's what our society is about. You can agree or disagree with someone. You can agree or disagree that the Flyers were wrong and should take this guy and string him up, make an example of him. Don't allow anyone else to be able to do this. But if you did that, you'd be opening up, you know, a real can of worms, because not everybody supports everything, Mike. Not everybody supports everything.
But you make it sound like homosexuality is a choice that somebody one day decides I'm going to be gay.
No, Mike, you're wrong. All I'm saying is that this guy claims, because he's Russian Orthodox, that his religion is more important to him, is what he's saying.
He's hiding behind his religion
again,
to be homophobic.
You know, you want to get into a fight with the guy and say, why the fuck didn't you wear that thing with your teammates, right? You're fighting a losing battle. So why not look at the good that it's done? And probably more and more, maybe more people are now supporting inclusivity and diversity in sports because of what this guy did. So look at it that way. More people are now aware that there's guys like this, right? That chose not to. There are people in this world that disagree and don't want to. The Colin Kaepernicks of the world, the whatever, however you want to do it. And no, I'm not comparing, saying that's the same as that. What I'm saying to you is when an individual takes a stand and the knee-jerk reaction is, that's fucking wrong, disrespectful, hang that fucking guy. What it does is it just opens up more conversation. So go ahead and boo Provorov next time you see him. Spit at him. Refuse to wear his jersey. Don't go to a Flyers game again. Don't watch the NHL anymore. Do whatever you want to do that's going to make you feel better about this guy not wearing a rainbow jersey. Okay? Let's get on with some sports, all right? I've said all I'm going to say about this. The Toronto Raptors were in Minnesota last night, led the T-Wolves by as many as 18 points in the second half. And I'm sorry to report that the lead dissipated. And the game was tied at 126 when the ref called one of those ticky-tack fucking fouls where the shooter leans into the defender intentionally. You know the one, Mike. Leans in and then pretends to take a shot. And they call a foul on Van Vliet with 9.9 seconds. And I'm like, oh, fuck. This is what, you know, this, I invest myself in this game. It's 126 to 126, 9.9 seconds. And then the ref calls one of these fouls. One of the ones that is just, it's like, really? At this point of the game, especially, you're going to call that fucking foul? I hate that. And so the two free throws are converted. Now it's 128-126, and the Raptors take it down court. And then OG's got an open three that would have won the game, but he misses it. And the Raps end up losing 128-126. And so they're 1-2 on this little road trip. Now they're home this weekend. Listen to these schedules in sports are nuts, but it is basketball schedule for the Raps. So they come off a three-game road trip. They're home for the weekend. They got the Celtics Saturday. They got the Knicks on Sunday. Then off to the West Coast. So next Wednesday, they're in Sacramento. Next Friday, they're in Oakland. Next Saturday, they're in Portland. A week from Monday, they're in Phoenix. A week from Wednesday, that's February the 1st already, they're in Utah. Then Friday the 3rd, they're in Houston. Then Sunday the 5th, they're in Memphis. Then they get 2 days off and they come home and host the Spurs Wednesday, February the 8th. That's 7 games in 12 days, Mike, with a team that's not doing well. And before the trip is over, I suspect that Fred Van Vliet and maybe Gary Trent Jr. will be gone.
Wow.
Unless this team, you know, has a heck of a road trip. Unless they can turn it around.
What are you hoping for there? Like, what are you rooting for?
A Raptors win every time I watch them play.
Okay.
I root for the Raptors to win.
So your glass is half full. I love it.
But I don't like the fact that you even, like, What do you mean? What am I rooting for? Like, do you you root?
You don't think there's Raptor fans that are hoping we go 1-6?
No. You.
Well, me and others.
What are you rooting for? Them to lose?
Draft pick. Yeah.
Oh, you're not a fan.
I want a draft pick.
You're not a fan. How can you watch them? You watch your team lose. You want to watch them lose?
I can't believe.
I want them to make every shot, and I want them to block every shot the other team takes. No exceptions. None. Not, I don't want them to win by 8 or lose by 4. I don't care. I want them to win.
I don't like the mushy middle. I don't like the mushy middle.
I want them to win every game. The Jays, every game. The teams I follow, I want them to win every game. Anybody who doesn't isn't a fan. Fuck
okay.
it.
Quick question, Hebsy.
No Leaf fan wants them to lose so that I have a draft.
Well, not now. But
not one.
Yes,
not
we did. One. When we scorched the earth, you remember that, when we got Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner back-to-back there. That was 100% Leaf fans rooting for a loss every night. Let's get a
Well, that's different because of the Peter Horacek. That was just, you know, that was a
we scorched the earth.
We hope they fucking lose so they can fire the coach. That's different. Well, wanting the team to lose so the coach gets canned. Right, and the whole fucking, you just throw it all away. That shit. Those, you're not real Leaf fans.
Oh, I disagree. Well, look at all this disagreement today.
Hey, you're not a fan if you watch the team and hope they lose. End of story. Now, the Raptors are giving up way too many points. That's one of the reasons why they're losing so many games. NBA teams this year. This is how bad the NBA is. The defense is. Maybe not so good. How good the offense is. Just how bad the defense is. NBA teams are averaging 114 points per game. Scoring. That's the highest mark since 1969-70. The Raptors have given up 120 plus points 11 times this year. Over 120. 43 qualified players are averaging at least 20 points a game in the NBA this year. 43. The all-time record is 31. A player has scored 40 plus points on 106 separate occasions this year, including 24 times this month. The record of 137 such games is going to be demolished. That's, I mean, let's, like, every night somebody's scoring 40 points or more. 50-point games? The 50-point mark has been hit 16 times already this year, on pace to break the record for the most in one season that wasn't a Wilt Chamberlain season. That's 23. So 23 times in 2019-2020. So more 50-point games by guys, more 40-point games. 43 players averaging at least 20 points. It used to be, Mike, if you averaged 20 points a game in the NBA, you were an all-star.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I remember when DeMar DeRozan, he's going to be an all-star. He's averaging 20 a game. 43 players are averaging 20 a game. So that's the way
it sort of reminds you of, like, you remember in like the early mid 80s or whatever, if a Blue Jays hit, let's say George Bell hits 27 home runs, like that was a really impressive number, 27 home runs. That was a great feat. And now the shortstop's going to hit 27 home runs.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had Aaron Judge hit 60 homers. You had Austin Matthews score 60 goals, right? You've got, guys, receivers catching well over 100 passes a season. Records are made to be broken, I guess. Baseball, the Blue Jays unveiled some improvements at the Rogers Center this week for the selected media to view the dome and report back on the changes. Artist's conception of what it's going to look like. No longer. It's the actual, that's what it looks like. Like you see up there? That's the Corona rooftop patio. That's you can go get drunk up there. There's some nice views. And guess what we have at the concessions this year? We got Jamaican patties available. Jamaican for Yaman. Yeah, Vladdy. Cool me, brah. Oh, by the way, the Jays will also have Brandon Belt hitting from the left side. And this week he said the Jays should be favored to win the World Series.
Oh,
my God. What new else look for say? The Rogers Center. New Blue Jays favored to win it. What do you think?
Come on. What's he going to say? Of course he's going to say that. But no prognosticator is picking the Blue Jays to win the World Series. Dark horse, maybe.
We'll get on board, Mike. Go find out what the odds are. I haven't checked it out yet, but I don't think they're a World Series championship team, but I could be wrong. It's known to happen.
Sure.
In golf, Brooke Henderson owns the first round lead at the Tournament of Champions, being played at the Lake Nona Club in Orlando, Florida. Lake Nona. It's going to be an Italian mother, right?
Lake right.
Nona. Hey, Nona. Hey. Sure. Anyway, Brooke shot a 500 par 67 yesterday, leads by one shot over Nelly Korda.
Korda.
Sister of the aforementioned Sebastian Korda, who knocked off Daniil Medvedev today in the Australian Open. That's tennis. This is golf. I love it. There's only 29 golfers in the field, and only 8 of them Mike, are Americans. So 29 golfers, one Canadian, Brooke Henderson, eight Americans, and the rest from other parts of the world.
Cool.
Which I think is great. I mean, American domination, nobody likes that stuff. Although this year in tennis, there's a couple of the Americans got eliminated, but Cord is an American. So Americans are doing quite well on the men's draw anyway in the tennis. So, but you know, too many Americans is like, I don't know. They're kind of all the same. You know, sometimes you need a little international flavor, you know, not that Brooke Henderson being from Canada adds any international flavor.
No,
she's about as vanilla as they get. And that's not a bad thing. Okay. Not a bad thing. On the men's side, it's the American Express Tournament in La Quinta, California at the Pete Dye Stadium course. American David Thompson leads after a 10 under par 62. Top Canadian Adam Hadwin minus four. He's tied for 42nd. And then you got Nick Taylor. He's tied for 85th. You got Taylor Pendrith. He's tied for 102nd. And you got Michael Gligic from Burlington, who's tied for 137th. How'd it go today, honey? I'm tied for 137th. Oh, that's nice. Maybe tomorrow you could be tied for 102nd, or you could be tied for 85th. It could be worse. You're playing on the PGA Tour. You're playing golf for a living. How bad can it be? And finally, the LIV Tour.
Yes.
Or the Saudi Blood Money Tour, if you want to call it that, because LIV really is Roman numerals for 54, and their tournaments are only 54 holes long. The LIV Tour is getting some TV time this year. They signed a deal with the American network, the CW, to show all weekend coverage, just the weekend coverage. The CW, that's the network that has the, like, those kids' soap operas, right? Those, like, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean, like Dawson's Creek. Like, Dawson's Creek. That? I was going to say Dawson's Creek, but that kind
Dawson's
of
Creek.
Dates me,
there you
I guess.
Go. Like shows like that.
Right.
You know, Beverly Hills 90210, or, you know, but that kind of network. Anyway, the CW will have the weekend rounds of all LIV events. However, the first round of each LIV event will be not available on television. However, will be streamed on the CW app. So you might want to get the CW app, so you can stream the first round of the LIV Saudi Blood Money Tour.
Are you going to do that?
Is competing. Oh yeah, for sure. Which is competing with the PGA Tour, which, you know, has really got its back up. Like, it's we're the PGA Tour. Meanwhile, you know, LIV players are allowed to play in the Masters, and these guys are going to be rubbing elbows with. So these two tours, they had better learn to get along. All I know is it's good for golf. The more golf, the better. That's the way I look at it.
Blood money be damned, right, Hebsy?
The Saudi Blood Money Tour. Hi, everybody. This is Greg Norman. Hello, Greg Norman. And look, they got Cam Smith. They got, they got some big names.
Hey, Eugene Velitis, before you say goodbye, Eugene Velitis wants to know what you're drinking this morning. He wants some.
Real Canadian water, but it's, see the blue color here. This is, it's that Mio.
Oh, yeah. The flavoring.
It's Mio, and which, by the way, had the greatest ad campaign ever. I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Fantastic ad campaign. I can still see those Mio commercials. Great. And that's why I bought it. And it's good. I just mix it in with my water. Thanks for the question, Gene. And thanks to everybody for listening. That's it for episode 317 of Hebsy on Sports. Woo! Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike and listen to his excellent and award-winning podcast, especially the one with Richard Griffin, the former Blue Jays and Expos PR guru and longtime baseball columnist with the Toronto Star, and the man who... married the woman who I was dating.
Oh yeah, and also don't bury the lead. That episode features
No. That's a tease.
I know, but you're on that episode.
Give you
more
reasons to listen to the.
That was a fun fact. Mind blow.
That's a good fact. I like those are the types of nuggets that I like. Anyway, thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Back with another exciting podcast, hopefully next week. Until then, so long for now.